Welcome back to Super Bracket Bros. You have encountered... No, I should say my name. I should say my name first. My name is Jay.
You're set up. The feng shui is
off. Yeah, feng shui is
way off in this episode. It may not seem like it quite yet, but you have found Super Bracket Bros. As I said earlier, my name is Jay, and the other voice you hear is Eli, my always co-host and assistant to the bracketologist. And we are here today to bring you another matchup in this grand tournament of characters. What we do on this podcast is we take 32 fictional characters that are your favorites and least favorites and pit them against each other in a series of one-on-one matchups. And so we are here to continue the first round of that tournament today.
I don't know about you, Jay, but I'm feeling kind of scared. I counted. It's been 27 years.
Before you were born.
Yeah.
The last time you felt this fear.
Yeah, I've been doing the math and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, Jay. I took a vacation in Maine, and I think I came back with something.
Came back with an affliction.
Yeah, some affliction.
Yeah, so today we are going to be discussing Pennywise, aka It. Well, I suppose It is its actual name, but Pennywise the Clown from the Stephen King universe of movies and books, going up against none other than Tony Stark, Iron Man from the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
What inspired you to bring Pennywise into this tournament of champions?
So, I wanted some unorthodox picks, which led me to Pennywise. And really, I mean, I thought about several different scary movie characters, and my first instinct was Slenderman, which is the most vague opponent for a versus matchup like this that I could pick.
Yeah, they have to go find pieces of paper in the woods.
Yeah, exactly. So I didn't decide to go with that, but I figured, you know, Pennywise, it's not much more concrete.
Well, it's weird. Like, when I saw this, I was like, I don't know about that. But then I thought about Lego Batman, and I was fine with that. So, for all intents and purposes, Pennywise, let's do it.
Yeah, yeah. So, we have Pennywise, and, I mean, if you were really wondering, we're going to go with the movie version.
Yeah, the latest one with Bill Skarsgård.
Yeah, because, I mean, may or may not surprise you, I've not read the books.
Yeah, we didn't read the 1,100 page novel.
It's something like that. It's enormous. You know, like, I mean, people talk about how prolific Stephen King is and how many books he's written. I mean, not to mention every single one of those books is like 1,000 pages each.
And not to mention, you know, I think I read during the time he wrote like 6 pages a day, which might explain why he has so many novels.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't help, or I guess it helped that he was, like, high on cocaine. Which I might mean, explain Pennywise.
Yeah, it thoroughly explains Pennywise. Do you know how many books he's authored?
46.
68. Shit. 68 books. He's written, I was looking at, checking out his Wikipedia, he's written a couple nonfiction books, actually, too.
A couple.
Yeah. Just, you know, spice things up a little bit. Yeah, no, 68 books.
Well, it's like everybody knows Stephen King as a horror author, but he delves into a lot of, like, he does historical fiction, he does, he did a fantasy western, the Dark Tower series, so, yeah. You know, he's kind of this cavalcade of ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have you ever actually read any of his books?
I have not, but no, I'm not a biggest fan of horror.
I don't think I've ever really read a horror book. Like, the concept of it seems very strange to me. Like, it just doesn't, like, I can play scary video games. Like, I love Dead Space. Like, I like scary movies. Like, I liked It a lot. But, like, reading and being scared, like, it seems so foreign to me. Like,
but that almost makes it scarier.
I know, because I feel like I'm going to get wrapped up into it, and like the thing, like, because you have to use so much of your imagination.
And I think, like, that's what the scariest part of it is that you don't have any images. Like, with the movies and everything, you can say, oh, I'm just going to ignore those images. Mm-hmm. But the books just seep into your subconscious.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Stephen King has done so well, is he's able to tap into those primal fears and take it to really weird ass places, as we'll find out.
Yeah.
But we've been talking about It for a while. Let's talk about the other opponent.
Yeah, so we have Pennywise on one side, we have Tony Stark on the other. Probably most people know who Tony Stark is at this point. They didn't, you know, 11, 12 years ago. It's hard to imagine Tony Stark as like a C or B list superhero. Like, it just doesn't compute.
Well, to be honest, I've always been a DC guy.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up, I always thought it was Marvel as a whole as like the tier two superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's completely not true. Right. At all. Yeah, but that's just something because I grew up.
You're a headcanon, essentially.
Yeah. I grew up on the cartoons, and like the cartoons in DC were great. The comics for Marvel, I really hated. So,
yeah.
With the exception of Spider-Man. So, you know, right. Thor, Hulk, and Captain America, they were all just like lesser versions of like the Supermans and Batmans. And
right. You just see Captain America as this like Superman and anagram, and like, yeah, like Iron Man is
he
this.
He can't
yeah.
fly.
Yeah. What do you mean he can't? He uses a shield?
And as much as I'm not the biggest fan of the MCU, I do thank it for catapulting Marvel into the zeitgeist.
Oh, yeah.
Introducing me to, like, oh my god, there was all this.
Yeah.
However, I still do not like the X-Men. And nothing will ever make me like the X-Men. Because that cartoon was janky, and I hated it so much.
You act like any of the cartoons weren't janky.
But X-Men, I just remember I tuned it, I lost, like, I didn't watch a week, and then the next week, there was an apocalypse, and mutations, and, like, evil clones, and I was not about that.
Yeah, of course you didn't like it, because you couldn't follow the story.
yeah, exactly.
Saturday morning cartoon. But yeah, Iron Man, believe it or not, was created by Stan Lee and a couple other guys at Marvel. Larry Leiber, Don Heck, and Jack Kirby were the artists. He made his first appearance as in the comics in the Tales of Suspense number 39, 1963, and received his own comic in 1968. Of course, like we talked about, MCU debuted in 2008. He made an appearance in 9 MCU films, culminating in Avengers Endgame, which came out last year.
Like a true hero.
He did indeed.
And so we're going to be using Tony Stark from Endgame with that nano suit. That dope-ass nano suit.
We haven't mentioned it yet, but we have seeds for this. Pennywise comes into the 7th seed because of the vagueness. It's just weirdness. That's kind of, I feel like I slotted a lot of like 7 and 8s and just like I don't know what to do with these characters.
Well, I feel like a lot of your 7 and 8 selections are characters that sort of have a gimmick to them.
Mm-hmm.
And if that gimmick works, it could be a really interesting fight, and if it doesn't work, it's basically a non-starter.
Yeah, aka Poe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Poe is the beneficiary of having that gimmick of being really good against a certain type of opponent. And so for Pennywise's success, it doesn't matter what Pennywise can do.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on how the character reacts to what he's.
Right, yeah. And that's why, you know, like, looking at the matchups of Pennywise, I think that's why it makes, like, this matchup against Tony Stark interesting, because Tony Stark is known for having so many demons and, like, inner battles that he goes through. And, you know, I mean, Pennywise is essentially the realization, the self-actualization of all of these fears that adults and kids have. So
he's it.
But yeah, I mean, Iron Man as a 2-seed, pretty self-explanatory. He's got the nano suit, he's got the repulsors, like, he's very powerful indeed. And so he definitely deserves to be up there with the other 2 seeds, which I think are Aang, Luffy, and Aquaman. Yeah, we've got those three, and of course Iron Man. So should we get into it?
Yep, so Iron Man is the higher seed. Now, okay, this is interesting because Pennywise is from a specific location, but for our headcanon.
So we talked about this a little bit beforehand. I thought about, you know, like, because I mean, Pennywise is only in Derry, Maine.
Yeah.
And so, like, we thought about, you know, Trump, that does that Trump the 2-seat, does, you know, Tony Stark take a little bedside vacation to Derry and runs into Pennywise, and that's how this battle goes down?
Just Tony Stark walking and he sees a, hey Tony, hey Tony, we all float down here, Tony.
Oh god. But we decided to continue with our headcanon of the Super Bracket Bros.
Yeah, sorry, Stephen King loyalists, but we're going to fudge it a bit.
Yeah.
So in this hypothetical, Pennywise fell from space onto the Tony Stark house or whatever. Yeah.
So yeah, that sort of all led us to decide to go with home field advantage for Tony.
Doesn't he have like a place on Malibu, like a beachfront place? Like a
fancy from the first movie? Yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I was just like thinking of him like in bed and Pennywise is just peeking out of the window or something. Well, because this is going to be a psychological fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. It's almost like the location isn't going to matter. It should be like someplace. It doesn't matter, really.
Yeah, no, I don't think it matters too much. So, what, his Malibu home?
Yeah, where his garage is, where he makes all those suits.
Yeah, yeah, we can do that.
That'd be fun.
Okay, yeah.
We haven't really had like a low-key location.
Yeah, I know. Go hopping from no man's land to... Yeah, let's break this off then. I'm assuming Tony Stark is just
drunk.
I mean he kind of has to be for this battle. But I mean, he doesn't have to worry about getting in the suit because the nanoparticles are part of him. So, you know, those he doesn't have to worry about getting the suit on. So I kind of imagine it, you know, just a low-key night, you know, and starts to
Pepper Potts is off, you know, away.
Yeah, running the business, and Tony's turning in early and starts to get this feeling.
He starts to see red balloons.
Yeah, exactly. He's just in that giant living room, like looking out over the sea, and just a red balloon.
That would be so scary.
Goes lengthwise, goes across all those windows.
No, I'm just jumping out of there.
Yeah. Antonio. Probably it'd stop, scratch his head a little bit.
So we talked about, I remember when we talked about Toph and the limitless imagination we can use for her earthbending.
Mm-hmm.
We can do literally anything with Pennywise.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, balloon across the window. What's Pennywise's next move? Because I don't think Tony's not going to do anything yet.
No, I don't think Pennywise is going to reveal him as the clown form quite yet. I imagine, you know, he's gonna build up. You know, he's gonna throw in a couple small things here and there, and you know, kind of get the ball rolling here. And so, you know, I imagine, you know, you see the red balloons here and there, and then, you know, maybe like he'll have visions of like some blood splattered on the wall, like going down the hallway, and he'll freak out and run after the blood, and then like see like a Pepper's corpse on the bed or something. Like,
yeah, my first thought is Pennywise gets into the character's deepest, darkest fears.
Mm-hmm.
And so the big ones for Pony, I think, are his family. So I think the showing like the corpses of his father or, you know, his beloved wife, I think, mm-hmm. will be the big ones.
Yeah, I could see him going for Pepper Potts and then like comes in for another scare. Like, because I mean, he always like sort of resented his parents, and so like especially like his dad for not, you know, always being there. And so I sort of imagine Pennywise taking on the form of like a two-story tall version of his dad,
like cartoonish,
like grotesque. Yeah, like giant, like blown up. Disappointed in you, Tony.
Why'd you not run the business, Tony? And like Pennywise is a clown, that's his favorite form, so he's very much like fucking with people.
Yeah, exactly. I imagine at some point we're gonna see Obadiah Stane in a clown outfit with like laser eyes or something. Like,
I'm trying to think of the other big fear. You could probably pull something from like Captain America.
Yeah, I think, well, I imagine a couple things we're gonna see. We're gonna see dead Pepper Potts, or like an in danger Pepper Potts, like bound to the wall or something, like screaming, yelling for help, and like Tony's gonna be, I mean, in the Iron Man suit, like flying around his house looking for Pepper.
Yeah, I think as soon as he sees Pepper's corpse, he's activating like Iron Man mode.
Yeah,
because as soon as like I can imagine he's gonna go to Pepper's side and like, what are you doing? And then that's when Pennywise will just be like, ha ha, Tony.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, she's gonna be facing away, and then like he's gonna go up to her and like turn her head to like look at him, and it's gonna be fucking Pennywise.
Bill Skarsgård's face,
his elongated like giant forehead face. Like,
the one thing I did love about the new It movies is Pennywise's voice.
Yeah,
hey Tony.
Oh, it was so good.
Hey Tony.
So good. Yeah. Oh my god. Like, Bill Skarsgård did such a freaking good job.
So we're gonna have to rein ourselves in a bit, just because we can have all these different opportunities and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think after the first initial scare, which in our scenario is gonna be Pepper,
yeah,
Bill Skarsgård with Gwyneth Paltrow's body,
yeah, the image everybody wanted when they clicked play on this podcast.
Yeah, with that gross-ass teeth.
Yeah.
But after that, Tony's definitely activating the...
Yeah. Yeah, no, I imagine he goes, like, shoots right away, and you kind of see, like, a poof, like, the sheets fly up in the air from the bed, and he ends up, like, just destroying the bed, like...
What is the AI after Jarvis?
Friday.
Okay, yeah. So I think that's going to be a big help for Tony, is having Friday, because I don't think Pennywise...
Doesn't that kind of seem like the thing that a scary movie would shut down? Like at some point, like, 5 minutes in, like, the AI starts, like, sputter out, like...
That's what I'm thinking, too, but, like, what... See, like, Pennywise has mastery over everything, but we don't see, like, high-tech technology.
No, I mean, like, the biggest thing with Pennywise is, like, he's a master of illusion. That's kind of what I see as his primary. It, like, he transforms into, like, different objects, different people to fit their fear, but can also create these grand scenarios that scare people.
Yeah, you see him, like, bite people's heads off, but that's not really, like, is that literally happening? We don't know, but that person's dead, basically.
Yeah, yeah, I always... Here's how I interpret Pennywise, is that he can pretty much kill anybody anytime he wants.
Really?
Like, that he's, like, kind of, he's that kind of crazy powerful. Pretty much, like I'm thinking, like, at the end of It Chapter 2, and where they're in that, like, where the meteor struck and, like, they're underground. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, I mean, he does kill one of them.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm pretty sure he could kill most of them. I think, like, he gets his rocks off by, like, killing people at the height of fear.
Yeah, he definitely seems like his biggest downfall is his arrogance. Because, like you said, he's just going to keep fucking with people.
Yeah.
And eventually, characters wise up to it.
Yeah. And so, do I think that he could insta-kill Tony? Like... Not necessarily. I don't think Tony would last super long if he were to go on a head-on-head fight with Pennywise in his, like, spider form.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that weird-ass,
he had, like, scorpion-esque. Yeah. Oof, that was...
Movie made me feel like I think Stephen King felt when he was on cocaine.
Yeah.
I really do.
And so I could see, like... And I mean, like, we're taking Pennywise as his character, not like he's going in a straight up fight, you know. I mean, he's going to try to scare Tony to death. Yeah. And so, like, that's the question. Like, can he do that before Tony puts the beat down on him?
Well, the thing is that in It Chapter 2, the characters literally win by bullying it.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
basically a giant bully. Pennywise is.
Yeah.
Like, when characters wise up and say, no, you're just a stupid clown, he basically dissipates.
Right. He shrivels up.
Yeah. And so he has the unfortunate, the worst card to pull against the quippiest, most sarcastic bullying character in the entire MCU.
Yes, that is true. Yeah.
So I can see that, like, when he shows up, you know, after the Gwyneth Paltrow, Pepper Potts murder scene or whatever, Tony's going to be on edge. And then he reveals he looks like a clown. And then that's when Tony says, oh, you're just a stupid clown. Oh, no!
I could see... So, do you remember in Avengers Age of Ultron where Scarlet Witch gives Tony a vision? And Tony kind of gets this... He's walking in this desolate space plane and he sees all the Avengers that are dead next to him.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And so he's kind of walking through and seeing all the bodies and, like, looking around. And, I mean, what, you know, Scarlet Witch does is, you know, she gives him a vision, you know, that forces him into creating Ultron, you know, and so kind of sends him into this spiral. And so I don't think it's necessarily out of question that the things that Pennywise can do, you know, would be able to send Tony into a similar spiral where he ends up being more self-destructive than helpful.
Yeah, and he is an alcoholic.
Yeah.
He has varied issues.
Right, yeah. And so...
Like if Pennywise is fighting Captain America, I don't think this would be as much of a conversation.
No, yeah, exactly. Like, I think Cap would have the advantage here, you know, because, I mean, he's stoic, you know, has no fear, doesn't fear dying, you know, doesn't, like, I mean, like, he wants to protect his friend, same as Tony, but, like, he's experienced loss, you know, having gone through a war, you know, as opposed to Tony, like, still, like, is holding on to everybody for dear life, it seems like, you know, to a fault. And so if Pennywise can tap into that fear of like losing people and, you know, show him, you know, decapitated Steve Rogers and like, you know, like Tom Holland strung from the ceiling, like all these fucked up things, like.
And that's what I was thinking with Friday. That's what I'm keep thinking about, because if Friday would probably realize it's an illusion and tell Tony that.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing of like, oh, no cell phone reception in the horror movie. Yeah. You know, it's like if this happens, then the fight's pretty much moot.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think it would be a struggle for Tony, but he would have the big advantage of, because yeah. that's what Pennywise's biggest strength is, the lack of knowledge of opponents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they don't know what to do.
Right. But Pennywise, like the nature of him, he knows exactly who his opponent is and their worst fears, you know, like, and he goes into every situation knowing his opponent, essentially.
It's almost, I mean, we obviously rated Iron Man as a 2 seed based on strength, but mm-hmm. this is almost a fight of character.
Yeah.
What is Tony Stark's seeding emotionally?
Exactly.
What's his emotional seeding? I think like a 6 seed.
Maybe a 5. Maybe by 5 at the end of Endgame. But yeah, so let's address the Friday thing. I could see it working to a certain extent, but not necessarily being reliable. Because, I mean, Pennywise gets into his head and kind of contorts what Friday is saying, you know, because, like, he can change his voice to Friday's voice and be in Tony's ear telling him, like, what he's seeing is real and that, you know, this is actually Steve Rogers' body, and Tony questions it, like, what's happening, like, this is an illusion, but Friday, my AI is telling me it's true.
You know, like, those scenes in the MCU where it's always a close-up on Tony Stark's face?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to imagine he sees himself doing that,
mm-hmm.
like some fucked-up illusion, and then, and then just Pennywise's face, like, yeah. Ooh, nice contraption you got here, Tony! But no, I do think you have a point, because, yeah, as high technology, Pennywise seems to be this eldritch horror who's beyond human comprehension.
Right.
So yeah, like you said, as soon as the vocal, you know, gets into his ear, which mm-hmm. he's more than capable of doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I threw out Friday there, but I don't think, based on what you said, it's mm-hmm. Friday's going to be a big...
Yeah. Actually, what's going to happen is Pennywise is just going to take over the AI, but Tony's not going to realize it. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be a thing the audience hears, just Pennywise being his AI, and we're going to be like, isn't that Pennywise? Tony, don't you hear that's Pennywise?
Don't go in the closet, Tony!
Don't listen to Friday!
I could talk to you Friday saying, like, oh, you should go to the basement, Tony. And we're like, no, don't go to the basement! No. He goes to the basement, no! Pennywise just has so much at his disposal to just fuck with Tony.
Mm, yeah, and so, I mean, like, he's going to do all these things, you know, to be able to break him down.
Can we talk about, like, the physical? Because the characters in the It movies,
mm-hmm.
little kids,
mm-hmm.
they seem to damage It physically.
You can damage It once you no longer fear It. I think that's kind of the message and how I interpret it. I feel like Tony, like, is obviously a lot more powerful than a group of kids or a group of random like alcoholic adults. I mean, brute strength wise, he could probably take on It in full power form, you know, like to some degree. But I feel like in order to really secure a win here, in order, like, he has to get over the mental, and then the physical will follow.
I know we're talking about Tony being a flawed character, and he is. He goes through struggles and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the movies, he is a champion.
Yeah.
He overcomes his, you know, traumas and fears. But, you know, we have to ask ourselves, in this fight, we're bringing that in.
Mm-hmm.
That, how do we address each of our hypothetical 10 fights?
Yeah.
How many times does Tony Stark...
How often does he overcome his fear? Yeah. So, I imagine in most scenarios he would, because I mean, he is the hero. The reason that him and Captain America are in this bracket, you know, our first season, is because, like, their story arcs ended, you know, because they were the ultimate heroes in Endgame, you know, and so, I mean, that's why Iron Man is here, that's why he's a 2 seed, and that's why, like, I imagine in most scenarios that he overcomes Pennywise, like, mentally, like, eventually will see through the hallucinations, even though like he may go through a panic attack or two, yeah. like in this scenario.
And I can totally see Pennywise getting a few wins in by just overwhelming fear. Mm-hmm. You know, like we said, if it's other characters.
And so let's talk about Pennywise's spider/scorpion form.
His Final Fantasy form.
Yeah, that's one way to put it, is the Final Fantasy form. So we see him break out this form where, I mean, he probably grows, what, 3-4 stories tall, something like that?
Yeah.
Essentially, the top half is normal, you know, clown, but he grows 2 scorpion tails?
And yeah, like 4 legs.
I was gonna say 6 legs, I think. Something like that.
It's always feeling.
Yeah.
Some days it's 2, some days it's 8.
This is sort of, you know, Pennywise gets backed into a corner. This is what you're going to find out. You know, this is what you're going to find is, you know, he's going to break loose and summon up a lot of his power and pour it into his shapeshifting.
And then he goes on the offensive.
Yeah, and then he's going to go on the offensive. He's going to go straight, you know, trying to get into striking distance.
And I think this is where we get to the more prototypical fight between these two characters. That's when Pennywise starts flinging those tails at him. This is where Iron Man starts doing his zappy zap, pew pew pew.
So this is where, how do you think the Iron Man suit handles Pennywise's physical attacks?
That's so tricky, because all the damages that Pennywise's attack do are against normal people.
Mm-hmm.
Not heavily armored superheroes who take on Thanos.
Yeah.
Who get planets thrown at them on the regular.
Yeah.
So I think maybe like a square hit. I think Tony could probably tank a few of those.
Yeah, I imagine he tanks a couple hits. I think what could get him into trouble is if Pennywise does strike him like right in the chest. You know, if he gets a square hit on the compartment where the nanoparticles stay. You know, I don't know what kind of effects that would have on the suit. You know,
and like Pennywise knows about it because he knows everything.
Exactly. Like he's going to know everything about Tony, and like he could potentially target the power source of the suit.
Another thing we see in It Chapter 2 is those, what are they called? The dying light?
Deadlights.
Yeah. You see the immobilize Bill Hader.
Yeah.
With those, but I do think that's like an immobilizing tool. I don't know how it would affect with the visor.
That is a good point. I wonder if it's something.
Bill Hader's big ass glasses didn't stop it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could potentially see that it would be a lot easier to wrap Tony up and. Or grab him with one of the legs, or wrap him up with the scorpion tail and bring him close. And this is where you see Pennywise's mouth go wide open, and he's got these trio of lights in the back of his throat. I don't know how else to explain it, but they're called the deadlights, and essentially, like, they hypnotize people and draw them in for him to be able to. I mean, he doesn't kill people, he uses on the deadlights.
No, it's like a prophetic visions or...
Yeah.
Dude, what the fuck? But I can imagine, remember that scene from Far From Home? When Mysterio mm-hmm. messes with Spidey?
Mm.
I can see that
going
against Iron Man. And we see that defeated Spidey in that certain fight.
Mm-hmm.
Would it defeat Tony Stark in a similar fight?
How would Tony Stark react to Mysterio, just in general?
That's what I'm trying to think.
Yeah,
and like Pennywise's illusions are stronger, more visceral.
Oh yeah, I mean, like they're deadly, like, you know, like they're suffocating people, like, yeah.
Thinking about Iron Man versus Mysterio, I have to imagine, well, obviously that's where Friday comes in, but we don't have to talk about that.
Yeah.
I just going off of the end game we saw, when chips are down, Tony Stark is able to rally
mm-hmm.
and, you know, overcome the fear and anxieties that would otherwise defeat him.
Yeah.
It's only when he's almost bored is when dangers start creeping in.
Yeah. Well, I could see, yeah. Like, as far as the Mysterio thing goes, like, I think that's just that's the journey that Spider-Man, I mean, not that I was a big fan of Far From Home, but, like, that's the journey that he goes on in that, is he's not Iron Man, and he has to cope with that. And I think that's why Mysterio makes a good Spider-Man villain. I don't think he'd make as great of an Iron Man villain. Like, I feel like Iron Man would just kind of would be able to bust right out of there. Like, you know, I mean, it's Stark technology that Mysterio's using, you know, not that Pennywise is using Stark tech, but
Tony Stark, with all of his sarcasm, to not start pulling that out and notice Pennywise get weaker from that.
Yeah,
just an offhanded comment.
Because you can see Pennywise, like, he gets pretty perturbed pretty easily. Like, when the kids, like, start yelling at him, or, like, you know, like, he'll give a look, he'll be very confused and be like, hmm? And, like, not be very happy with
that. Yeah,
that was
the weirdest part of It Chapter 2, is it's like, we gotta make him little. You're dumb. Oh, no! And so, like, it seems like the tiniest comment is enough to weaken it.
Yeah.
And so, Tony, just as a, I feel like a natural response to seeing all these illusions, will just be like, you're just a dumb clown, you're not gonna fool me. That's when he sees, like, oh no. And he's like, what, does that scare you? So I almost feel like he'll accidentally figure out insults just because he's such a quip machine.
Right, like, just, like, through progressing through the fight, just as he normally does, like, figure out that, like, that's Pennywise's weakness.
So yeah, like you said, his emotional aloofness and sarcasm will get him in trouble early in this fight, but that'll almost bail him out because he'll just be such an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah. Tony starts hallucinating, like, cockroaches inside his mask. Like,
oh, God. But it's also nanotechnology, so it can ebb and flow.
That's true. Yeah.
So
we haven't talked about that at all, really. Like, I'm sort of imagining the fight taking place, like, in the garage right now. And, yeah, I didn't talk about, like, the nanotech, like, moving and shifting around him and, like, creating different weapons, but also, like, a sort of a vessel to protect where he needs protecting, or, like, yeah. So,
and the suit's gonna react to what Pennywise is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
and I don't think that he is so in tune with it, because, like you said, it's basically a part of his body, and that
means, right, I mean, he thinks and it happens, you know, that's how it works. So yeah.
And I mean, we haven't talked about the suit, because this isn't really a physical fight, it's an emotional and psychological fight.
Yeah,
up until Pennywise says fuck it and goes in that giant form.
Right.
Which I love imagining, you know, the moon, it's a full moon, and you just see Pennywise just, like, burst out of the roof as, like, this three-story monster, and that's when Iron Man starts shooting shit at him.
Yeah, like, starts flying around the house and, like, yeah, like, goes to the roof. Like,
and it's just, like, the second Tony Stark figures out Pennywise's game, it's over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, he nails him down with repulsor beams and, like, slowly starts, like, shrink him and, like, turn him into nothing until he's, you know,
that little
literally
blob.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, is there any way that Pennywise throws him off enough that he's not 100% in battle, you know, that he doesn't go in with all of his faculties?
Ooh, actually, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because I keep thinking of, because Tony is going to get scared. Mm-hmm. Pretty much any person.
Yeah, he's going to get scared. Yeah.
And that's what Pennywise, you know, he's a smart opponent. Yeah, I mean, he likes toying with people. Mm-hmm. So would Pennywise be smart enough to not toy with, you know, Tony, to get a really major hit in right away?
I mean, that's kind of his MO, though, right? Like, that'd be deviating from everything that it is, you know? So I'd have a hard time saying that, you know?
Tony's arrogance is going to beat out the Eldritch Horror's arrogance.
Exactly. Like, his touted weakness is going to beat down. Yeah. Like, I thought, like, going to this battle, yeah, that, like, the volatile emotions and the panic attacks, you know, might be a weakness. But yeah, you're right. Like, the arrogance and the sarcasm, like, is to his benefit, you know?
Yeah, even I feel like Tony's the kind of guy, even when he's scared, he just talks shit, because that's an emotional response.
Right, yeah, like, and that's the go-to.
And unless, you know, Pennywise is wise to that. But I don't think, if Pennywise was more of a, you know, strike first character, then I could see him pulling out some more wins. But he just fucks around way too much.
Yeah.
And this is not the kind of guy you want to fuck around with, because that's when Tony Stark brings out, you know, the quips. They're one of the nice quips. Let's get down to the finale.
Yeah, so how we decide winners between the two of us is to avoid any straight up ties. You know, we don't each have one singular vote. We both decide out of 10 how many times would one of the characters win the fight. And so you know, for example, if Eli picks 6 out of 10 and I pick 8 out of 10 for two different characters, then my character would win based on confidence in that character. And so that's how we go about things here. Eli, do you have a decision?
Yeah, I have a pretty easy decision.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You know, we were talking in circles trying to think of ways that Tony Stark might lose.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, I don't think Pennywise's gimmick is going to overcome. I don't like saying 9 out of 10, but I really do think 9. I don't usually... I would go 10 out of 10, but I don't really like 10s out of 10.
Yeah.
I imagine one fight where Pennywise's gimmick works, but that's one time.
Mm-hmm.
9 additional times, I don't see it. Because we have the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe arc. Tony is the main character, essentially. Mm-hmm. He's the first one. He's the protagonist of the first all the way to the end. And he's not just an Endgame. He also shows bravery in all the other movies to some extent. He shows character growth. So in this fight, I think he'll get pushed. I think every single one of these 10 fights, he gets pushed in the beginning, but he picks up steam in the latter half.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you there. I was going to go 8 out of 10 times just because, like, you got to have those couple times to account for something we can't think of for Pennywise. But it's hard to discount the fact that, I mean, Pennywise lost to a group of regular-ass adults. And regular ass children.
the same group.
Yeah. You know, I just don't think if he gets Tony to the point where, like, he's ready to kill Tony, I don't even know if he necessarily can. You know, I think about the ways in which he almost or did kill people in the It movies. You know, it was putting them in illusions where they were suffocating or being chased by a giant Pomeranian monster. You know, it's all these scenarios that Tony, via the Iron Man suit, has more than enough durability and mobility to get out of these situations, which we haven't talked about, but it's true. Like, someone that went one-on-one with Thanos with all the Infinity Stones he had at that point, like, can probably, like, you can talk all day about how Pennywise is this cosmic magic entity that is capable of just about goddamn near anything. He still just messes with people and then kills them and has his fetish, essentially.
Yeah, basically.
That he needs to complete before killing somebody. So I'll give Tony 8 out of 10 times. Yeah,
I think that about does it
for Pennywise, which means I'm gonna have to play some spooky music at the end of this.
Yeah, what's the It theme?
Like,
you could just do the recording of Stephen King saying your ending sucked from the movie.
So we have one more matchup in the round of 32. We have Link. We're gonna go with Breath of the Wild Link as our 3 seed versus Hiccup and Toothless from the How to Train Your Dragon universe.
When Jay first compiled the matchups for the first round, this is the one I was most excited about.
Yeah, so this is going to be a great way to end the first round, and we'll decide who goes up against Iron Man in the second round. So, very excited about that matchup, and then we'll be getting into the second round.
And what's the second round called?
So, we're going to... So... Not the Sweet 16, but the Super 16.
Super 16. In case you didn't know, Sweet 16 was already taken by another
little known bracket. We'll be kicking that off, and that'll be the second half of our season as well. Next episode will be our 16th episode, and then we'll have 16 more matches after that. Got anything else for the people, Eli? Eli, don't show me your deadlights. Big foghorn comes out of your mouth.
No, Jay, I have nothing to say. Goodbye, Jay.
Thank you so much for joining us. This has been Super Bracket Bros. And as always, my name is Jay. For Eli over there, remember, no true hero is a one-trick pony. Where? Yeah.